Every once in a while when we plug it in, it doesn't connect or something. So anyway, we're sounding good. Good to see you this morning. Welcome back. You were back, some of you, last week, so I'm the one that's coming back, I guess. So welcome back to me, and we're glad to see you. And it's been a great holiday season, and we're getting back into the regular schedules of the things of the church. And so, indeed, we are back in quizzing. And so we're going to ask our quiz coach, our teen quiz coach, to come. He's got some information to share with you about an event and the accomplishments. And so here's Steve.
Hello. So we did have another quiz meet yesterday, and it was in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And MJ, is this on? Yeah. MJ placed fifth place in individual, so there's that. And then as his team, he quizzed with Coffeeville again, and they got second place in the B division. So, good job, MJ.
And regionals is coming up. Yay!
We're going to go ahead and move into our worship time. We're going to ask that you stand at this time.
You are to worship. just as you are before your God.
In this holy place together, bearing witness as the two of you become man and wife on this day. As you join in heart and spirit, you begin another chapter in the book of life. A circle that surrounds you. You can find it on the faces of your family and friends. Love, let it wrap its arms around you and guide you on your journey.
How is everyone? I asked this question earlier this morning to some people. How many of you are done with the cold? I know I'm done with the cold. Definitely it takes a little bit to work up a sweat if you go outside today. So, but we do want to say good morning, and it is so great to see all of you. We are starting to get some of you that have been vacationing and off during the holidays, and then we've got our visitors that have come back and are continuing to come. So it is so great to see all of you this morning. We want to, of course, say welcome like we always do. Hopefully you guys make yourselves at home and feel at home this morning, and we can just have a great time of worship this morning. But I'm just going to jump right into announcements. Go ahead and take your bulletins out. We have got small groups tonight, and it is a brand new year, fresh new year. Some of you have gone to small groups, have done small groups. Some of you come to the regular service that we still have here. And tonight we have communion service tonight. So those of you that come, be prepared for that. But if those of you don't maybe know too much about our small groups, if you would ever like to know more information about the groups that meet, the topics that they're discussing, see myself, see Pastor Gary. We can get you that information and hopefully get you plugged in to small groups of your choosing. Church board, our monthly meeting is tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, or excuse me, at 6:30, so be prepared to meet here at the church tomorrow, 6:30. Then we've got a regular scheduled Bible study on Wednesday night. Our praise team has started to practice at 6:30 on Wednesday nights as well. So be here for those different activities. The next Sunday, I do want to make a note. Please, if you are part of the SDMI committee, we are going to be meeting next Sunday. It says 6 o'clock, but it's actually going to be at 5. We will meet an hour before service time at 5 o'clock next Sunday. And then just some upcoming dates to remember. Our Ladies Fellowship, the Giggles, they have a retreat coming up down in Branson. That is the 27th through the 29th. So, ladies, if you need more information on that, I believe there's some information out on the bulletin board, or you can see any one of the ladies counsel for that. And then we've got men's ministry breakfast. It'll be the first one of the year. That will be Saturday the 28th at 8 a.m. We'll try to get a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center so we can know exactly how many to expect for that. Thank you.
Dear God, we pray for the little ones in harm's way, for the children of a mixed-up generation, tangled up by the sins of our world, and left hanging in a world where their cries too often go unheard. May they be heard and held tight by you. May we be a church who ushers children into your presence. Help us to care for vulnerable children as we would care for our own, to provide for their hunger and thirst, to cup their ears and whisper your words, to show them your love, and help them become the people you created them to be. Each day, Lord, give us tangible ways to care for your precious little ones. Use us to carry them from danger to places where they have safety, to grow, to learn, to lead. Our Lord and our God, we pray, for your little ones to find refuge in you. May it be so. Amen.
Everyone taking care of their responsibilities, but Pastor Don is sick and he's not here, so I guess I better step up and call for the ushers so we can receive the morning tithes and offerings. And we encourage you to pray for Pastor Don and Ruth as they are recovering, and we trust that they're past the curve and doing better, but they were a little hesitant to come, not wanting to pass anything on to any of you this morning that might be here. And so we're kind of in that season of the year. But thanks for coming and being here. We trust it'll be a great day in the Lord's house today, and we thank you for your faithfulness and obedience in the giving of your tithes and your offerings. Brother John, if you would come and ask God's blessing today and receive my tithe.
Once again, Lord, thank you for the privilege of the freedom to attend a worship service for you. Accept our gifts, our tithes, break it and give wisdom to those in charge of it, and we give you the praise. Amen.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to hold. sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, for there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. To worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. The work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what your worth. Crucified and laid behind a stone.
above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, laid behind the stone, you lived and died, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. And laid behind a stone, you lived and died, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
This next song, the altars are open to you this morning if you have need of them, whether it be to lift up praise or to lay down a burden. And so we just encourage you to know that if you would like to come, you're welcome to do so as we sing. And then at the conclusion of the song, we'll lift our voices together in prayer.
Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
High and lifted up.
High and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Ladies, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Holy, holy, holy.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see
holy,
you.
Holy, holy.
I want to see you.
Lord,
open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
You are
open
holy,
the eyes of my heart. I want to
holy,
see you.
Holy, holy.
I want to see you.
I want to see. I want to see you.
Father, we are indeed grateful to be in your house today. And it is our desire to see you. Remember in the book of John where the men came to the disciples and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And Father, that's what we want today. We want to see you. We want to see you in our praise and worship. We want to see you in the Word today. We want to see you in all that we come and offer of ourselves. We want you to shine through all of that. Lord, we realize there are so many voices and so many noises that are out there in this day and time and in our culture. And Lord, we realize that it's so easy to be distracted and pulled in many directions. But Lord, we're here today because we want to focus. We're here today because we want to push out the noise and we want to push out the clutter. And Lord, we just want to be in your presence. We want to crawl up in the lap of Abba Father. And we want you to wrap your arms around us. And tell us that everything is going to be okay. To feel your strength, to feel your power, to feel your majesty, and to know that you know exactly what's going on. You know what's happening in our lives. You know what's going on with our personal relationships. You know what's going on out in the business realm. You know what's happening with the national turmoil and the international turmoil. And you know about presidential inaugurations, and you know about civil strife, and you know about all kinds of things. And Lord, we're just trying to process it all sometimes. But whether it's our own personal issues or whether it's the bigger picture of the world we live in. You are sovereign God. You are in control. And Lord, our desire today is to seek you, that you might open our eyes, that we could see you, know your will, do your will, and know, Lord, that everything is going to be okay beyond that. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we praise you, we offer our lives to you today. We come thanking you for your salvation, mercy, grace, and love. We come thanking you for the blessings. We've just come out of the Christmas season. For some of us, it's been a challenging time financially. It's been a difficult time. Maybe we couldn't give to others all that we wanted to give to them or share with them. Perhaps, Father, we received more than we gave, or we gave more than we received. It really doesn't matter, Lord. Help us just to understand today that we have been blessed. Lord, if we should lose everything we have in material realm, nobody and nothing can take your relationship to us away from us. Nobody. And so, Father, we have all we need. Everything beyond that is a blessing, and we thank you for the blessings that we enjoy today. Now, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be in this service. These who have knelt at these altars, these who have bowed in their hearts and in their minds and in their spirit, and they have laid before you petition and request, those items that are printed within our bulletin as prayer requests, Lord, we just want to just lay those in your hands, knowing that you can take care of them far better than we can. And Lord, we'd like to celebrate just a little bit too, because it was really good to see Brother Larry walk through those doors. And Lord, we thank you for touching him through his heart surgery. And Lord, we thank you for helping others along the way. We know that there's been others that have been dealing with the doctors, and they've had other sicknesses. And some, Brother Lonnie's had some cancers removed. And there's been a lot of stuff going on. And a lot of people having tests and trying to figure out what's going on. We think about Phyllis and Iris and various ones that have been out there. Lord, there's people that are sick today and they're home today, because they didn't want to cause someone else to be sick. Lord, I pray in the powerful name of Jehovah God, as the healer, Jehovah Rapha, Father, that you would go and that you would touch them, the great physician, and bring healing into their lives, that we might come together again as the family of God and rejoice in your power and your presence. We thank you for guests that are here today. Lord, we just pray that they'd just get over that pretty quick and be at home with us and be family with us. Lord, we know that the enemy is trying to keep people away from you and out of your house. And so, Lord, we just come against the enemy today in the name of Jesus and the power of the Word. And Lord, we just want to open our hearts to you, and we want to open our facility to the world. And Lord, we want to share the good news of the gospel with those we meet. Thank you, Lord, that we can turn over every situation in our lives to you. Thank you that we have the confidence that you know about it already and that you're already on the job. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you because you are worthy. And in appreciation and in belief, all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, each and every one. You may be seated. You may be seated. I believe our children are going to go to children's church at this time. Leanne's going to lead them, so if you'll go, Sister Leanne, we appreciate that. And trust that you'll have a good time in the Lord there in children's church. I've heard they're going on a fishing expedition today, and so they're learning about being fishers of men. Now, that'll be good. Appreciate that. Well, these are challenging days, and as I've visited with you through the holidays, many of you have had situations that have been difficult. And some of you have had years, as we think back on 2016, that if you could rewrite the book, you wouldn't write it the way it went down. But indeed, our God is able to help us get it through all of it. And that's kind of what this song is about. And I'd like to share. I haven't sung this for a while, but it's my heart this morning. And I trust that it'll speak to your heart this morning. Thank you.
journeyed through the long dark night. Out in the open sea, alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. Anchor holds, those sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas. Anchor holds in spite of the storm. Well, I've had visions, I've had dreams, I've even held them in my never knew they would slip right through like they were only grains of sand. Oh, the ship's been battered. Falling on my knees as I faced raging seas. Anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, but I am older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through the storms of my life, well, that's where God proved his love for me. And the anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. And the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. In spite of the storm, I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas. The anchor holds.
of the storm. That song came to me at a time in my life when things were indeed very difficult. And it has been meaningful to me ever since. And so I share it with you today as we start a new year. And I know that you got a good New Year's message last week. That's the wonder of computers. In the old days, I used to go away, and when I would come back, somebody would say, well, that was a good sermon, and I wouldn't know. But see, now I can get on the computer and find out. Pastor Don did a wonderful job, and we appreciate him, the message he shared last week, and to trust that you'll be praying for he and Ruth, Sister Ruth, to that God will touch them and to get well. And so today, as we launch forward, we have voted to move forward with some change and transition in our church, and as we work toward those prescriptions and as we move towards the things that God would have for us, we want to talk about vision today. Today is the appointed time to set a vision out there in regard to a couple of numbers. One is the number of people that we would want to win for Jesus Christ over a 5-year period. And the other is the number of people that would be touched with God's love or with the love of Jesus Christ through our church and its ministries over the next 5 years. And so we want to present that vision to you this morning. But before we can set a vision, we have to make sure that we are certain of and understand our mission. I want you to hear the Word of God this morning. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is good, according to the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And then Peter recorded, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Therefore, according to Jesus, here is our mission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, your mission, Nixa Church of the Nazarene, should you choose to accept it, is to bring God's will to earth by making disciples, depopulating hell, winning the lost, and becoming personally responsible for the Great Commission. But how, you say? I'm so glad you asked. How will we accomplish a vision? How will we fulfill that mission? I believe that there is an account in history that gives us some very wonderful biblical perspective about the very situation that we are encountering and going through now. As we have taken on the idea of changing, as we went through assessment, and as we thought about the challenges of becoming a different looking church, my tie is kind of my security blanket. Besides, it holds my lapel mic real well. And the last time that I walked down the halls of anywhere with my shirt untucked, Wilma Kleinlein, my American history teacher, told me to tuck it in, buddy. Change. It's uncomfortable for all of us. But change is not all bad. And I believe that there is an account in the book of Nehemiah that shares with us some of what we're going through now. I mean, it just sounds a lot like some of the challenge that's out there for us. And I don't know if you noticed on the slide or not, but when it said Mission Impossible, there was a question mark at the end of the impossible. Because the whole deal is, all of those missions on all those shows were accomplished. And the truth of the matter is, we have to look at it and do we think the mission is impossible? Do we think it's impossible to fulfill the Great Commission? Do we think it's impossible to win souls? Or do we believe that we can change the pattern and the last few years of history where our church has been plateaued or in a little bit of decline? And do we believe that we can get back to those years of evangelism and baptisms and soul winning and doing the things that was the one thing that God said for us to do? Well, let me take you to Nehemiah this morning. For in Nehemiah, we find some things that I believe can help us have the how-to of accomplishing the mission and bringing about the vision to be reality. We find the first thing in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and it says this: "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hechaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire.' And when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven." So the first thing that has to happen, folks, is if we're going to be successful in carrying out this plan, if we're going to change the complexion of things, if we're going to change the atmosphere of the place, it's not just about physical peripheral things. It's not about adding blue lights, or it's not about... those are nice things, and they're attractive things, but it's about a change in our hearts. It's about a change in our heads that says we can no longer excuse ourselves from the task that is at hand. We have to take personal responsibility. There was a burden. Nehemiah saw that the walls were down. The people who had been exiled would like to return. There was really no place to return to. And so he got a burden. He got upset about the fact that the walls of Jerusalem were down. And he said, "We got to do something about that. And I believe God can do something." And he was bothered by the status quo. And I'm just going to tell you, the only way that any place is going to change is for us to get dissatisfied with the way things are. Because as long as we're happy with the way things are, as long as we're comfortable, we're not going to attempt any kind of change. Matter of fact, we're going to resist change because we like it the way it is. And there's lots of things. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of things that I love about this place. But I don't love the fact that we've fallen off the mission. You know, there's too many bugs in the baptistry. Have you been up and seen the baptistry lately? There's bugs in the baptistry. Brown recluse spiders. We need to get water in the baptistry. Get rid of the bugs. Dunk a few people who are coming to Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Nehemiah was bothered by the status quo. But here was an honest assessment. Nehemiah was not only bothered by the status quo, but in the sense of burden, he realized, hey, here's where it starts. It's right here. In verses 6 and 7 of that same chapter 1, we read these words: "Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer. Your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel." Here was a corporate thing. "I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed your commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses." Confession and repentance. Nehemiah got a burden because things were not as he knew they ought to be. He got a burden about that. He believed that God could use him to do something about that. And as a person who was cupbearer to the king and kind of at a high point, and a person, he's actually representing his nation of Israel. And he's saying, hey, I personally have sinned. We have sinned. And we went through that. We went through the service of confession and repentance. We did that. We own that. We own the fact that we're not intentionally doing the Great Commission in the measure that we should. Oh, yeah, we're doing some outreach things. And yes, we're inviting people to church once in a while. But the truth of the matter is, we're not as a church nor as individuals owning the fact that we're the only people out there to tell somebody. Somebody told you, didn't they? And at what point, when somebody tells us about Jesus, do we all of a sudden not have any responsibility to reproduce or re-represent? That it's okay for us not to tell anybody. Nehemiah confessed to disobedience in himself and his people, and he took responsibility. And that burden led to a vision, because all of a sudden, Nehemiah thought to himself, I think the wall can be rebuilt. What if he said, isn't it sad that the walls are down? Isn't it sad that the people have no place to come back to? Isn't it sad? Oh, it's just too hard, just too big a deal, and it's done and over with. No, he got a burden and he said, you know what? Somebody built the wall in the first place. Somebody can build the wall again. And guess what? Since God laid it on my heart, I must be somebody. Nehemiah assessed the situation and committed to a solution. If you look in chapter 2, in verse 5, it says, and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it. And then this exciting thing happened. If you go on in chapter 2 and you get to verse 18, he's talking about talking to the people about this. And it says, I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. And that's what's happened. We had an assessment. We had an assessment, and we looked at it, and we said, what do we need to do? And we said, hey, we can do this. But when you start taking back territory that the enemy has taken from God, the enemy says, ooh, I'm scared of you, and he backs off, and he goes away. No. The enemy does everything within his power and everything within his might to say to you, you can't do this. You can't do this. Listen to these verses. This is chapter 2 and chapter 4. In chapter 2 and verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, these guys even just have bad names, don't they? The Ammonite official heard about this. They were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. And then go to verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing, they ask. Are you rebelling against the king? And then go on over into chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? If even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their walls of stones. So he's saying, you can't build it with any quality. You can't do it with any a fox. How big is a fox? How much does a fox weigh? Oh, you put a fox on your wall, you're going to build, it's going to crumble. You can't do it. It can't be done. You don't have what it takes. You don't have the resources. You don't have the people. You don't have any of those kinds of things. Go to verses 7 and 8. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. We told you you couldn't do it, and you're doing it anyway. That makes us mad. Now that's the enemy. The enemy is the devil, folks. Don't get this wrong. The enemy is the devil. But here's what happens. here's what happens sometimes, even with good people. Because if you go to chapter 4 and verse 10, it says this, meanwhile, the people in Judah. The people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. We don't have the resources. We don't have the people. We don't have the money. We don't have the time. We don't have this. We don't have that. We can't do this. We're too busy with other stuff. And also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. And then the Jews who lived near them came. The Jews who lived near them, the Jews, their own people lived near them, came and told them 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. It doesn't matter what you do. It won't work. It won't work. It won't work. We fight not against flesh and blood. Don't get this wrong. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody can pray and everybody can seek and find direction. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. You and the people who sit beside you in the pews, you're not enemies with each other. Get beyond that. Whatever is happening, whether it's external or internal, when it comes to defying what God wants to accomplish, it's not about people. It's about the devil. Don't get mad at each other. Get mad at the devil. How many of you have heard of a thing called faith? Faith is doing what you already have all the resources and capacity to do, right? So when does God get involved? If you already have all the ability and all the resources and all the plans, do you need God? So where does faith come in? Faith comes in when you can't do it and you can't claim the credit for it. Faith is about God doing what seems impossible. Mission impossible? Question mark. So then Nehemiah went. They began to rebuild the walls. It was happening. It was going on. The enemy was fighting. There were people inside that were concerned. They weren't sure. You know, they just didn't think it could happen. But Nehemiah, in chapter 5, did what's one of the most difficult things. He had a burden. He had a vision. But he started making sacrifices. And this is where a lot of people jump off the boat. You see, Nehemiah did not take the allotments that were allotted him. In chapter 5, verses 14 through 18, moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governors. The earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to the food and wine. And their assistants also lorded over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. So Nehemiah, as holding the office that he held, was entitled to do certain things. And he did not accept the extra food, the special food, the really good food that the regular people couldn't afford. He worked right alongside the regular people. He ate what the regular people ate. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us at a later point that he actually, because of the food allotment that he got, he invited people to his table to eat with him. He didn't collect taxes. He didn't try to do anything that the other people were doing that were going to advantage themselves. You see, the word sacrifice is defined as a cost of time and resources. That's what sacrifice is. It costs you time and resources. Is this going to be easy? No. Nobody ever said it would be. Nehemiah put out the sacrifice. But here's what happened. We're nearing the end now. Chapter 6. Verses 5 through 9, then the fifth time Sanballat sent his aid to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations that Geshem says it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together. Verse 8, I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up in your head. When we all feel passionately about things, when we all are doing our best to hear from God, and when we believe a certain thing, sometimes even then we're not all still on the same page. I don't understand that. But what was happening here is these guys essentially were accusing Nehemiah of trying to set up his own kingdom. They said, you're rebuilding this wall so you can become king of these people. And Nehemiah just sent a letter back and said, you know what? No, I'm not. And so what happens? People have to believe whatever they want to believe. But oftentimes people believe stuff without even looking at the evidence. Because somebody else said so, or somebody else told them. But here's where this went. Verse 9 says, they were all trying to frighten us, thinking the hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Key here, he prayed. This thing has to be bathed in prayer. It'll never work. But here's where it ended. Chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul. In 52 days, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. All this work has been done with the help of God. God will never ask you to go someplace and do something He won't equip you to do. He'll help you. And it can get done and the victory can be claimed. So what's the lesson? Well, with a burden and vision and willingness to sacrifice for the mission, we can accomplish what God wants us to do with His help. Think about it. We were dissatisfied. There was grumbling. Not mean grumbling, but there was grumbling within the church. Hey, we're not growing. What's the matter with us? What's happening? So we decided to do a church health assessment to see if we could find out what the problem was. And so we had a church health assessment, and the problem was defined. You're not doing the Great Commission. And that made us uncomfortable. But we talked about it. We thought about it. Everyone had a chance to express their opinion and their thoughts, and we voted. And so we voted on a plan, and we are now implementing action to carry out that plan. The enemy doesn't like it because if we do what we say we're going to do, we're going to start winning people to Jesus Christ. And that's really the only thing that matters. The enemy doesn't like it. Some from within don't agree with it, and we respect their opinion. But it will take sacrifice on all of our parts to see it work. But here's what I know. No matter what happens from here on out, no matter who does what, who goes where, God is not surprised. So when the enemy wants us to think, oh, we didn't know these people might leave, or we didn't know that money might go, or we didn't know, God knew all that. So if indeed we believe that God has indicted us to do this plan, God knew what we were going to lose before we ever got started, and God knows what He's going to put in to gain back. God's not surprised. Do you believe that God is all-knowing? He's not surprised. So we don't have to be afraid. Because the enemy wants us to be afraid because fear cripples us from doing what we need to do. So here's the deal. Here's the vision. Here's the plug in the numbers. You know that the plan that was presented to us is for me to present the gospel to 48 people a year. You know that the challenge that was presented to the board was for the board to present the gospel to 108 people per year. Based on the fact that there's some other people going to church here, and if they would get in on this, and let's just say that 25 of those people presented the gospel four times in a year, that any one of you who are not in those first two categories, the pastor or the board, decided, I could share the gospel with four people this year. And if we went on the basis of scriptural principle, which I get from the parable of the sower, that when the word goes out, three out of four people are going to reject it. But that means 25% of them are going to get in. Based on that as a foundation for thesis here, for we would see, get this, 64 people come to Jesus Christ this year. And over 5 years, that would add up to 320 people coming to Jesus Christ over the next 5 years. Wouldn't that be sad? I recently heard in an evangelism conference, I heard about a man who last year led 100 people to Jesus Christ himself. 100 people. And he prayed to God going into this year. Going into this year, he said, God, I want you to give me divine appointments. I want to win one person per day to you. And his goal is to win 365 people to Jesus Christ this year himself. Now, do I think everybody's going to get that excited? No. But do I think the Great Commission is everybody's responsibility? Yes. So if every one of us puts forth some kind of an effort, I believe we'll get a 25% difference. Our vision is supposed to include a goal for the number of people touched with the love of Jesus Christ. And based on our current outreach and with new gospel contacts, we should be able to touch about 2,400 people per year for a goal of 12,000 people touched with the love of God over the next 5 years in our community. Based on realistic numbers. Wouldn't that be awesome? But can it happen without God? No. Can it happen without being bathed in prayer? No. Can it happen without us getting a burden, without us having this vision, without us working towards these goals? You have to have something to work towards. And so, we set goals. We exercise faith. Because here's the deal, without God, this is impossible. But God can do lots of things we can't do by ourselves. So let me wrap this thing up with some thoughts that God has been bringing to me through the last couple of months in my devotions. I use as a resource for my devotions a book called My Utmost for His Highest, which was written largely by Oswald Chambers, and a lot of the things that he's preached through the years. And this is what I read, and this is what I think it will take for this vision to become reality. I was challenged with this statement, to not let being good keep me from being my best for God. To not let good be good enough. Chambers writes, the natural life is not spiritual, and it can only be made spiritual by sacrifice. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. It is going to cost the natural in you everything, not something. If we do not resolutely sacrifice the natural, the supernatural can never become natural in us. Now, if you're like me, when I read Oswald Chambers, I have to reread this stuff about five times. It's like, wow, what did he just say? What he's saying is you don't get anywhere without sacrifice of yourself. And the truth of the matter is that's who we are as the Church of the Nazarene. Entire sanctification is the surrender of ourselves to God. Holiness is indeed being delivered from the carnal spirit and the flesh and being filled with the Spirit of God. And allowing the natural to become driven by the supernatural. But the truth of the matter is, man has always struggled with doing away with his own comfort. If you don't believe, just listen to this passage from the book of Haggai. In Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, it says this: "Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, 'Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?' Now this is what the Lord Almighty says: 'Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it.'" This is what the Lord Almighty says: "Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Because, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house." We're talking about dying out to ourselves. We're talking about surrender. We're talking about deliberate commitment. Oswald Chambers wrote, "Sanctification means more than deliverance from sin. It means the deliberate commitment of myself to God, no matter the cost." Do you remember these words that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1? "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." I believe that God is calling us to a season and probably a life of personal sacrifice. But I believe the reward can be greater than any of us can imagine. But the enemy's not going to lay over and die. He will make it as tough on us as he possibly can. It will impact our personal comfort and convenience. But it is not mission impossible. Matter of fact, we just finished the Christmas season. Can I remind you of a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 1? In verse 37 from the Christmas story, it simply says this, speaking to the Virgin Mary about being impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and her saying, "How is that possible?" The angel said, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. Nixa, Church of the Nazarene, and each of you as individuals, will you choose to accept this mission this morning? A mission to win the lost. Here's how I'd like to end this morning. I'd like to ask every one of you who is ready. And I realize that everybody may not be ready. And I don't want anybody, hear me out, I don't want anybody passing any judgment or making any criticism of somebody who's not sure they're ready. But for those of you who are ready and will accept this mission this morning, I want to ask you just to stand where you are and come and gather here at the front, that we might pray a closing prayer together, because if we accept this mission, we will need God's help. No one of us can tackle this on our own in our own abilities. But all of us together, with a burden, with a vision to work for, and a willingness to sacrifice, in a belief that God has all the provision the world needs for me personally as well as for His own tasks. If you accept the mission this morning, would you just come? And we're going to pray a closing prayer of seeking God and saying, "Lord, help us. Help us to do this thing. We believe in you. We believe you've called us to it. We want to connect to a lost world." I got to tell you, Jennifer knows I've struggled with this. We went shopping last night. I bought this shirt last night. I said it's got to have a tail on it so I can untuck it. And I'm not comfortable yet. I'm comfortable in some ways. But I was raised in a house where my mama taught me when I went to church on Sunday to give God my best. And if that meant a suit and tie, that's what I did. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. For all of you who like me in a suit and tie, you're here.
and you're going to heaven. So what I'm trying to be willing to do is break down any obstacle and present myself to a dying world that will allow them to come and say, he kind of looks all right. I think I could listen to him. Rather than saying, that's pretty stuffed shirt, suit and tie thing you got going on there. That's not my thing. And because I'm going to heaven with all of you and we're all going together, it's okay. It'll be okay. But for those people on the outside who haven't come in yet, we're going to break down every obstacle we possibly can because we want them to go too. And we can't just keep doing church for us. Because you're already in. Do you get it? You're already in. We have a job to do. We have a mission. Go make disciples. 320 people accepting Jesus Christ for the first time in 5 years. 12,000 people being reached with the love of Jesus Christ in 5 years. Wow! And those are based on conservative numbers. So if that's based on conservative numbers, that tells you by our numbers that have been posted where we've been. And the good news is, God's okay and very excited about us recognizing where we've been and being challenged to go where we need to go. God's happy about that. He's not mad at you. We've realized it, and He's going to move us to a new place. And it'll be exciting. And I can tell you this, I'll be the same height with my shirt untucked or tucked. I preach the same way. But if more people come hear me, that'd be good. And if by chance, it is not what any of us desire, but if by chance some of you feel the need to make a change, we love you, we respect you, but we know you're in. And whether you're here or there, you'll still be going to heaven. So we're going to try to find those people who aren't and give them a chance before it's too late. So I'm asking you this morning, will you accept this mission? And if you will, then I want you to come forward and we're going to pray a closing prayer, asking God to give us guidance and direction and seeking out His will. And if you're not ready, it's okay. There is no bad reflection cast on somebody who says, I'm not ready to say that yet. Or I don't think this is the way to get it done. I understand that. No reflection on you. How many people did Jesus win the world with? He changed the history of the world with how many men? And it reduced by one. Look around you. You think this mission is impossible? Jesus did it with a lot less than this. Do you think Jesus is still capable? You think God's still God? Okay. Faith is believing in what you cannot see, but what you hope for. Do you hope for people to come to Christ? Me too. Me too. And we're going to do our dead level best with the help of God to make it happen. Amen? Amen. Father, you know how nervous I've been about this. And you know that change doesn't come easy for me either. And you know how much I've grieved over potential losses. But Lord, you woke me on Thursday morning several weeks ago at 4:30 in the morning. And you said specifically to me, you said to me, and I don't say that very often, but I heard you. And you said to me, are you going to observe or are you going to lead? And so, Father, with all the honesty and integrity that I have within my body, I will try to lead those who want to follow. and I will give blessing to those who don't think this is the right way to go. But Lord, I have to obey God rather than man. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I pray that people can respect me for that. And so, Lord, together, this is your church, and we are your people. And we ask you to help us to accomplish this mission, because we believe that it's part of bringing your will to earth, because you don't want any to be lost. You want them all to be saved. And so we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. We're going to need your help. We need you badly. We are nothing in and of ourselves, but the Apostle Paul said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Lord, we believe with your help we can accomplish this task. We seek your will, your guidance, your direction in regard to this. I've done my best to deliver the message you laid on my heart. Now, hand in hand with you and each other, we move forward. In the precious and the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you each and every one.
Down by the riverside, I'm gonna lay